What's up, college baseball fans? Welcome to another episode of the 11.7 podcast. We are here talking college baseball. We got the Riz God, Dimitri, back live from Italy. He's missed the last couple episodes just getting his Wi-Fi set up, but he looks gorgeous today. Looking good, King. Jack's with us. He's got a big weekend ahead. He's going back to Houston. Wedding, but hopefully we'll bring the Astros some good luck, because as diehard Astro fans that Jack and I are, it's been rough, man. It's been really bad, but we got loaded college baseball slate starting tonight. Thursday, there's some good games. And then obviously this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's another very important week that we'll describe why it's important here in a second. But before we do all that, we're going to give a shout out to our partners over at Home Field Apparel. Every episode, we give a team of the week. And after the performance they put on this midweek and the sold out crowd, probably very intoxicated, screaming "Eat shit, Pitt!" The West Virginia Mountaineers. The West Virginia Mountaineers are our team of the week. You guys can use our promo code 15% off CWS24. And if you're on the YouTube, you can check out the old retro style apparel that they have here at Home Field. All of it is made with like just the most premium quality. If you own a piece of Home Field, You know exactly what I'm talking about. Super soft shirts. They fit great. And as you can see, like West Virginia, like I love this old logo that they used to have on the football helmets. It's just elite to me. But so many different designs and everything. Plus, we got word. I know we've been teasing it for a while, but we did have a meeting with Homefield. And that included Jack, Dimitri, and myself. And you guys are not ready. As college baseball fans, not even college baseball fans, just people in general are going to be blown away with what they have about to release in a little less than a month. And we can't say too much, but wow. They showed us some previews of the mock-ups that they have. You guys are going to want to buy it all. That's all I'm going to say.
50% off CWS24. Yep. I think I'm pointing in the right direction.
You are. You are pointing on the YouTube to the 15% off by using our code CWS24. Anyways, Thursday episode, tons to talk about. The midweek was great. The ACC struggled big time, especially on Tuesday. There were some mid-majors that impressed, I think, not only us, but just everybody across college baseball. And we'll dive into all that. Of course, we'll do our weekend series pick 'em. We got our six series lined up. So everybody that's participating, they'll be able to make their picks. We'll make our own picks. And then at the end of the episode, we'll just kind of bro out a little bit. We'll catch up with each other. It's been a while since us three have been on the pod together. And I know Dimitri's got some segments planned. Talking hot, cold, hot theory, what teams kind of fit the mix. He also wants to talk about mid-majors hosting chances. He did some formulas and some math and has some teams listed out that still have a chance to host. And I've done a lot of talking here first 3 minutes. So I'm going to pass it off to Dimitri. Give the people what they want. They've missed you. They were confused. They thought maybe you left the show. But you're back.
I just want to say, the missing the last two episodes, I had major FOMO. I didn't like it. I can't remember the last time I missed an episode, Ben. I think it was after the Mississippi State national title. We didn't. You and Mincy.
No, you have never missed an episode.
I don't think I have.
I don't think we've ever done like a national championship recap. We always say we're going to do it. I don't think we've ever done it. I don't know if you've missed an episode since you became like full-time podcast. I know that first season you didn't do the podcast. Yeah, 2019, you were just the behind-the-scenes guy. James and I did the podcast. And then 2020 came around. James had to leave just because of professional. Like, he got a job, big corporate job that he had to invest his time into. But you stepped in, and I do not think you've ever missed an episode. So it was weird for me. Even I have missed an episode in 2022 when my son was born. I missed that episode, and it was like you and the Apollo guys. But yeah, this was your first two missed episodes ever.
I did not like it. I felt like a part of me was being ripped out from me. Something was missing. I felt so weird. I hated it. I missed the people. I missed talking, listening to my dumbass talk about stuff. I didn't get to see a whole lot of college baseball, but I did a lot of going back and seeing what happened kind of thing. Like the time change was 6 hours. I was waking up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. going through games, watching like some replays, highlights. Hey, shout out to Wheels on YouTube. If you ever miss game, you want to go catch up highlight, go check him out on YouTube. He posts, I think he posts games within like the hour if they're done or something crazy like that. Wheel, W-H-E-E-L-S. Go check out his YouTube page. He gets highlights out faster than anybody, and they're good quality highlights. But anyway, we're back. I'm happy to be here. First things first, let's get into mid-major hosting. Mid-major hosting. What do you guys think?
I love it, dude. You just took control of the show. We're going to go straight into mid-major hosting.
Love it.
Let's do it. I think there's right now 17 that non-Power 5 that could host.
Wait, what was I supposed to do?
We're going to recap the midweek. I was going to let Jack kind of talk about midweek and everything there. But look, we'll circle back around. That's fine. Let's do mid-major hosting. Am I frozen?
I think our main man, Ben Upton, I think you're a little frozen, buddy.
Ah, no. Hold on.
Yeah.
Is he coming through?
From like the 5:30 mark, it was like a good 30 seconds of chop.
We're a one-take wonder pod. That might be the first editing we've done in the 24-hour campaign. I'm all about it.
We're going to have to edit it.
That's okay. 5:20 mark. I'll clip it and we'll cut. Wait to hear
on YouTube. Maybe we should just leave the unedited version. That's what the YouTube is for.
We should definitely leave it unedited. Let's talk some shit about
it. How much work it is? You know how much work it is to take that whole video, edit it up, refile it, reformat, and then upload it? I'm like, dude, I'm just going to upload this shit and be done with it.
I'm a CapCut guy. It makes it cleaner.
We're back now. It's bad enough.
Are we going to edit that out or are we just going to keep it in? I really don't care.
No, just YouTube, no. What was I going to say? Wait, hold on. I got to move you. I got to move the good order of the people.
People love the behind the scenes stuff. I think we just leave it in. We just leave it all in unless you guys said something bad.
I said we were going to talk shit.
Bad thing.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll get into the mid-major hosting picture. Obviously, like if you're a Power 5 school, like you still, most teams have enough left in the tank. You got 24 games left roughly, or 20 games left. You went out, like you're going to probably host. But for mid-majors, it's a little bit tougher, especially with the mid-major, or let's call it non-Power 5 schedules, like in conference. You really can't, there's paths where you cannot put yourself in the hosting picture playing against 200 RPI teams or like 150 RPI teams. So I think I had seven non-Power 5 teams that still potentially could host. And
I wonder who that one team is.
Well, you know, I'm usually pretty optimistic on some teams that you, I don't even know if we have the same six to begin with. There was a couple that I left out that maybe people looking at the RPI today would put in. But I have seven. So I think we can probably agree on the first three or four. And that's like Coastal Carolina.
Actually, you know what? Dallas Baptist. I have seven.
Okay. But like Coastal Carolina, Dallas Baptist, UC Irvine, like those are the three that I think you, in East Carolina, sorry. Those four, I would say probably have the best shot just based off of the resume now, plus what they have coming up with like their schedule and who they're playing RPI. And then you have like Indiana State that right now is like in prime position. Now they play against some pretty low RPI teams coming up, like in the 150s, 200s. So like you just gotta have to win all those games.
Let's list the team and then we'll just kind of dive into each one real quick. Not spend an hour on each, but just go into each one, kind of basically say, hey, here's the picture, what they can and cannot do kind of thing. So what you got? You got Dallas Baptist, Coastal, UC Irvine, East Carolina. We both got those four, right?
Yep.
All right.
Indiana State, five. This is where it kind of gets interesting. Like
Santa Barbara, Santa Barbara.
Yeah, see, I don't have Santa Barbara. I don't think they're going to be able to host just because of their field. I don't think they're going to put a bid out there. And like, honestly, like they're not going to come in first in the Big West, so like they're not going to give a hosting spot to a second place Big West team.
I mean, Santa Barbara hosted at Lake Elsinore. We talked about it before the show. They hosted in Lake Elsinore. I don't think their field is going to stop them from hosting if they're in a hosting picture.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to put a bid out there. That's just my thinking. There's just too many moving parts. They barely have a home field. They've been playing at like different places the whole season. So
here's the crazy thing. Okay, let's just go ahead and talk about Santa Barbara. Okay, we've already done it. They've got UC Davis, Fullerton, UC San Diego, Bakersfield, Northridge, and Riverside. I don't like their schedule the rest of the way. It's probably going to drop mid-20s, high 20s, maybe in the low 30s. But if they were to absolutely run the table, take that series from UC San Diego, they're probably going to – they could win the Big West. So,
That's tough, optimistic thinking. I don't think it's going to happen.
I wouldn't put money on either. And then my last team is Northeastern. Who do you have?
Yeah. So I have Northeastern. They can definitely play their way in. And then I have one more solid one and then another team that I think like on the fringe could put themselves in that picture. But like Louisiana, I know the Raging Cajuns RPI is not there right now. And like they do have a very tough schedule coming up the next 4 weeks. You get like Coastal, Southern Miss, Troy, and South Alabama. But if they win those series, like they're gonna host. I just think the path is a little bit tougher. But they built such a big lead in like a really, really good conference that if they come in first place in that conference, I would imagine they would possibly slide into that like 15-16 spot. But yeah, Louisiana, and then I also think like a team like Lamar. Like if they finish,
I was not including those teams that are in the 40 plus range in the RPI, but I think Lamar, we just talked about it. I just talked about it with Jack. Lamar, they're in the driver's seat. Do they need some help and a little Irish luck? Yes, but I think Lamar can play their way into the regional picture, the hosting picture.
Well, like they would have to basically win out. Like I'm talking like they would have to win 50 games and win the conference tournament. And like if they're 50, like dude, if they're 54-7 or whatever after the conference tournament, like you got to look at them as a serious like host, especially with that sweep over Oklahoma. Like they need Oklahoma to probably win the Big 12, but like right now it's like you can't write them off.
Well,
yeah, but you also just asked for them to go 20-1 the rest of the way, which I guess
schedule is light. It's pretty easy. Their schedule. Hey, so if they do, like you got to kind of reward the guys.
Lamar needs a team like South Alabama to do well. They need Illinois, Chicago. It could end up being a quad one win, which is crazy. I don't see that happening, but it's there. UTSA needs to play well. That'll help. So they still have opportunities. Houston, I expect Houston's RPI to go up in the top 75 by the end of the year. Sam Houston State could go up. So they still have a lot to play for. I think they could. It's going to be an outside shot, but never say never.
Yeah. But like, of course, like if a team like Troy or Southern Miss or if there's a mid-major team that in either like the American or Sun Belt Conference USA, like runs the table the next 20 games, like you could potentially see them getting that like top 20 RPI, but it's just highly unlikely. Like we rarely see those things happen.
I would see a team like Irvine getting that bid over Lamar. I would see a middle of the pack SEC team getting a bid over Lamar. I just don't see Lamar getting that, but we've seen some crazier shit happen in this sport.
No, I'm telling you, like they would have to win 50 games and Oklahoma would have to win the Big 12. Then I think you can look at them as like a...
And that's still not even a guaranteed, which is how crazy we're talking about here. So,
I know.
I mean, all right, Ben, Jack, and Ben, here's my question for you. East Carolina, Indiana State, Coastal Carolina, Dallas Baptist. You can only pick two of them to host as of today. Who are they? Using a projection, like thinking forward.
Like, who do I want to see host based off of,
not who you want, who you think.
I would say East Carolina and Indiana State.
I think that the Sun Belt's without question going to get 1-2 host sites this year. I'll take Coastal. Ooh. And then, I think I'll take Coastal and I'll take I don't know if DBU, I know that Oklahoma State series probably looks pretty good if Oklahoma State can get rolling. I don't know. Probably ECU and Coastal. I keep it in the Southeast.
So Jack, I'm gonna disagree with you, which I don't do often. We
disagree with people.
And I'm gonna upset a lot of Sunbelt people, but listen, I would not be surprised if the Sunbelt got zero hosts. And I'd say that because one, the landscape, it just listen, guys. The landscape is the same region as what the SEC and ACC cover. You're going to see a lot of SEC and ACC hosts. On top of that, as we've seen already, the conference is beating itself up. Like, other than Louisiana, who has played a very light schedule in that conference, who's 14-1, the rest, like, it's back and forth. Like, who's winning this weekend? I like App State because they're at home. If this conference continues to beat itself up and there is not like that clear number one, number two team, they will not give the committee will not put like a 24 RPI Southern Miss as a host when they come in first place in the Sun Belt, because right down the road, you know, they'll have a host at Alabama or they'll have a host you know what I mean? Like, it's the same geographic regions as the SEC and ACC. That's what the Sun Belt is. So I would see the committee favoring those Power Five schools over them. But a team like Indiana State, you know, if they're 19 in the RPI at the end of the season and there's nobody up there in the Midwest to host, I could see them putting it for geographic reasons up there. Same thing with Irvine out west. So the Sun Belt kind of gets the shorter end of the straw, and I'm just trying to be a realist here. Everybody knows I'm a big Sun Belt guy. I just would not be surprised if they got zero hosts.
When you look at the Raging Cajuns, let's say, and they're about to go through the gauntlet, like they're about to get Coastal, they're about to get Troy, they're about to get Southern Miss in 3 weeks in a row. If they separate themselves, LSU ain't hosting anything in the state of Louisiana. The Raging Cajuns will host. And then when you look at what Coastal did last year, they sent Duke to Coastal. It's Gilly's last year. You buy into the storyline a little bit. But Rizga, we talked about this before the broadcast, man. Podcast, excuse me. There's a team in the Sun Belt that we both kind of liked that's second in RPI that's flying under everybody's radar because they're dang near on the verge of maybe not even making the Sun Belt tournament. But James Madison is 28th in RPI in the country right now. They're 7-8 in conference. They've got a little bit of a lighter back half with Arkansas State and Marshall both at home. Like, they could go on like an 11 and what? I don't know. You go on an 11-4 run in the Sun Belt. With an 18 RPI, so all of a sudden, like, that's a Virginia host site that, like, you didn't even consider. I do understand that demographically it becomes really difficult when you're like, well, are you going to give them a host over South Carolina that's maybe on the outside looking in, or obviously Clemson's going to guarantee almost a host, but I see what you're saying. But the conference is too damn good to not, like, and to me it's all about energy. Like, I think college baseball is better when, like, some of these, like, mid-major powerhouses get the opportunity to, like, showcase, you know,
100%.
Right. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
I want to see what the hell Cliff Godwin, when I think of this, what I'm about to bring up, this is what I think of. You know how Waterboy, you know, in the movie Waterboy, Coach had his playbook in his notebook?
Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah.
Old man came over and took it from him like that, just snatched it from him, right? I think Cliff Godwin got a notebook like that, how to keep his RPI in the top 20 every year.
He does it. I mean, it's the same, like, four or five teams that have seemed to, like, break the code. East Carolina won. Kentucky is always up there in the RPI. It's because they play those first few weekends on the road at, like, an upstate or, a good competitive team. Indiana State is another team that has, like, broken the code, and then UConn as well. Like, those four teams – are always up there in the top 15 in the RPI, like, around this time of the year, no matter what the record is. Yeah, no matter what. Xavier's kind of getting like that too. Xavier, the last 3 or 4 years, they're a 500 ball club right now, but they're sitting in the top 25 in the RPI. So those coaches do have the code cracked as far as, how do I put my team in a hosting/at-large picture in April?
And it's not okay. East Carolina played Ryder midweek against Campbell, 3-game series against North Carolina. Most teams have that in-state rivalry, like that big series early in the year. Then they did their little Keith LeClaire Classic, Purdue, Fullerton, Southeastern Louisiana. Not great team. VCU. Then they go on the road at Liberty, which is a very sneaky, smart, savvy road series. That's a series you should go on the road and win. But it's also going to carry some weight when we get to May. That's going to carry some weight on the resume. UNC, Wilmington, Columbia, and then that was it. That was their out-of-conference schedule. That is nothing. That is not some UConn schedule where you're going to Stanford, you're going to South Florida, then you're going to Texas, and then you're going to freaking Oregon State. Like, that's what UConn does. That's hard. That is a high RPI deserving schedule. But I don't know what East Carolina is doing. I don't get how they do it. In a conference that is not that strong RPI-wise.
It's just the code. Cliff Godwin's got it. Now, I know we say this every year, but this feels like the year that East Carolina is going to make it to Omaha. And I think it starts with getting a national seed, right? Like, they're in the national seed top eight overall picture right now. But you look at their pitching staff, and this is a similar pitching staff to that, like, 2021 pitching staff that had Gavin Williams, Carson Wisenhunt, and those guys. The 1-2 punch that they have, I'd put up against almost anybody in the nation. Plus,
division route.
It's you, Savage. We're not gonna have another Caglione moment. It's you, Savage, and Root, the left or the righty lefty combo, and then the bullpen guy. He's been absolutely lights. I think he's given up like 4 earned runs all year, like 0.97 ERA. He's got 2 last names. I'm blanking on the name. Everybody knows I'm terrible with names, but yeah, they have that back end closer that can win the close games. So they've been close. Like, they've been to super regionals. They've hosted tons of regionals. They usually get bad draws in the supers. Like, they get Vanderbilt in 2021, Texas in 2022. But this feels like the year that the Pirates are going to make it to Omaha. And if they stay healthy, I mean, I would feel very comfortable with them making to Omaha.
All right. Do you think the committee, if Indiana State is in that fringe range, which is like that 15 to 22 ish RPI range, that Terre Haute regional last year was really good. And they know this year they're going to have it ready where if they win that regional, they're going to have a super regional in play. They're not going to have any scheduling conflict because they missed out on a massive chance to go to Omaha. I think they had a chance if they were at home.
And for maybe any new college baseball listeners out there, last year Indiana State hosted an awesome regional where they ended up winning the regional and they were facing TCU in the super regional. Indiana State was the higher seed, so they had the rights to bid on a super regional, but they were hosting the Special Olympics in Terre Haute that weekend, and they just didn't have enough manpower, hotels, accommodations for the TCU players, coaches, fans to make that trip. So they actually didn't even bid on a super regional. They just deferred it and went to Fort Worth, lost a really good super regional against a red hot TCU team. But like, if that's at home, I think they got a good shot at beating that TCU team because the games were fun to watch. Maybe this year, if they get that, like Indiana State, they lost a lot from last year's team, but they've had guys step up that they've developed in-house to replace those guys. And, like, this year's team might actually be a tad bit better, in my opinion. Like,
we've talked
offensively,
about
they're better.
Pitching staff's been good, too. Before. Do you remember, I think it was 2 years ago when I told you, I think it was it Wyatt Langford? It was Judd Fabian. I said, yo, Ben, Florida's going to be better without Fabian. Their lineup is going to be better. Same thing with the Indiana State team. Sometimes lineups just mesh better when you take out some of those star players because other guys are like, oh, shit, I got to pick up the slack a little bit. Or, oh, shit, he's gone. It's my turn now. Let give me some of that confidence and some of that trust. And all of a sudden you're looking at like, hey, man, I really like this lineup. I think this lineup is better. So it happens that way. You can lose pieces and turn around.
Well, dude, it happened to the 2017 Mercer Bears that lost the Golden Spikes winner in Kyle Lewis. And the 2016 team was, like, really good offensively. We had the best player in the nation. And then 2017, our numbers were so much better offensively without Kyle Lewis. And it was nuts to think about. But you're right. Like, the same thing happened with Florida when they went from Fabian to Langford in the lineup. But, yeah, I mean, like, I think right now for me – East Carolina, Indiana State are probably my two favorite out of those four to host. But like again, like Coastal Carolina, they always find themselves in the hosting picture come June. And Dallas Baptist, like,
yo,
like they, the they're right there Dallas too.
Here's a little fun fact for Dallas Baptist and the listener. DBU is 6-0 against quad one teams right now. I know, I mean, looking at their schedule, they don't really have any like fringe yet. I mean, Indiana 80, Arizona 31, San Diego 30, TCU 38, Sam Houston State 66. So they don't really have too many of that 40 to 60 range where it could all of a sudden go from a quad one, quad one to a quad two game. So Dallas Baptist looks great right now because Irvine last year got told not enough quad one win.
Mm-hmm.
DBU's got that taken care of this year. And so I think Dallas Baptist, I think I'm leaning Dallas Baptist more than Indiana State right now.
I think DBU's in trouble this weekend. DBU hosts La Tech this weekend, and I really liked what I saw at La Tech. I know they got swept last week in a really good Arizona team. I think DBU could lose that series this weekend.
Well, let me burst your bubble one more time, Jack. And I'm going to disagree with you again. There's no way Dallas Baptist is losing three straight weekends.
They're not losing it.
They lost 2 weeks ago. Like, Dallas Baptist is a team, and I know Dimitri's going to, like, lead into this in a little bit, but the hot, cold, hot theory is right there for them. And, like, they lose the weekend series at Western Kentucky. Everybody's like, okay, they should handle business against Air Force. Nope. They lose 2 out of 3 to Air Force. They're not going to lose 2 out of 3 to Louisiana Tech. Like, I know Louisiana Tech's a good team. They're not a great team. I think their schedule was super, super soft in the beginning. They go out to Arizona. Other than the Friday game where they blew a 5-run lead in the ninth, like, Arizona handled that series pretty easily. I'm expecting a huge bounce back from Dallas Baptist. They're gonna heat back up. Like, they're going to be a dangerous team that could potentially get to Omaha for the first time, just like East Carolina.
Yeah, but here's our disagreement. I think that the hot, cold, hot theory doesn't start till after exam week. I'm telling you, just wait. It would be a massive win for you. A gentleman's wager, a lunch bet.
Hold on. We'll get to the betting in a second. If DBU loses this series to Louisiana Tech, I am 1,000% slamming a ticket on DBU to Omaha.
Yeah, I am too.
Their odds are going to go so high. I am slamming a ticket on DBU to Omaha if they lose this series to Louisiana Tech.
I'm telling you, they're both 6-3 in the conference. DBU loses, everyone hits the panic button. They're sitting at, there would be then like what, 7-5, and then all of a sudden like it doesn't look as clean. I am with you. I think La Tech, like the big, you know, big streak to start the season, but like they lost two games to Arizona last week on just one swing. So. I think it's an opportunity for them to prove that, like, naysayers, like, hey, it wasn't just like a soft cupcake schedule, because it was. And then DBU hits their hot streak coming out of exam week. I'm with you.
It's a massive if, dude. That if is carrying a lot of weight for you, buddy.
We're already getting into the buddy talk. One episode back, it's back to buddies, chief, pal. Yep, here we go.
Hey, guess what I haven't done yet this episode? I won't say it, but I haven't done it.
You haven't counted yet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 quadrant one wins.
For the next 30 minutes, can we lay some odds? Do I do it or not?
Yeah, Jack and I will get you to do it. We know how to do it.
Yeah.
It'll happen probably towards the end of the episode. There's a formula for us. Hey, I want to ask you guys this. So who was – I don't know the answer, but Alabama has something that they can do that I don't remember ever happening, and that's knocking off the number one team in the nation on a weekend, back-to-back weekends. The Alabama Crimson Tide, after getting swept by Kentucky and earlier this year getting swept at Georgia, they go in, win 2 out of 3 against Arkansas last weekend, who was the number one team in the nation. This weekend, they get the number one team in the nation again at home in Texas A&M, who's playing just unbelievable baseball. So does Alabama have a chance to do something that I don't think has ever been done, beating the number one team in the nation back-to-back weekends, 2 out of 3?
I feel like it's been done before. The SEC and the ACC, over the past 20 years, they've always had somebody that's number one. I feel like at some point – the stars aligned like that.
I don't know, man. I think at least since we've been doing the show, it hasn't happened. Like, what I'm thinking is, like, maybe, like, an Oregon State, UCLA back in the day, or, like, I don't think it's come from an SEC or ACC team.
Okay, okay. Last year, who was number one most of the year? Wake Forest and LSU?
Wake Forest, LSU, yeah.
Okay, well, nobody would have beat them back-to-back because, obviously, different conferences this time of the year.
Yeah, like, Tennessee did it a lot in 2022. Like, they had the number one overall ranking. I think they lost one weekend series all year. So that's what I'm saying. Like, number one teams typically don't lose weekend series. And to play them back-to-back, I don't think it's ever happened. But anyway, so Alabama has something – or has a chance to do something cool. It's also cool that they're both at home. Like, really good for the Alabama fans to see number one team in the nation come to your home field for six games in 2 weeks.
Let me tell you. If Alabama wins this series, don't collapse the rest of the year. I think you have to give Rob Vaughn SEC Coach of the Year.
I agree. Ooh. Have you looked at their schedule? Ooh,
I don't know, dude. I don't know if you do that. There's two other coaches right now that I think.
Nick Mingione at Kentucky should be the favorite right now.
I wouldn't even say he's the favorite. I think Schloss is the favorite at Texas A&M.
Schloss has lost four games this year. Schloss has lost four games. Like, I feel like he's the early on favorite. And then Tony V is like waiting in the whims of the Tennessee
team. I'm just not a huge fan of handing out head coach of the year awards just to the number best team in the conference.
I agree with you. And Demetri, I'll agree with you too, because if you looked at – I've had like this really weird relationship with Alabama all year where it's like, how are they surviving off of what happened last year? Like, I thought there was going to be conversations where after Mahanning gets banged, like, are they going to, like, bang this program for a little bit? Like, he's blatantly betting against his team. I thought we were going to get the TCU blackball situation. But, man, every time I say, like, I'm completely out on these guys, they go take two or three from Arkansas in a sick extra inning game last Saturday. And then when you look at what they have upcoming, I was looking at this earlier today. They've got, like, nothing but conference champions in the midweeks, too. So, like, obviously A&M. But then they go two back-to-back weekend series at Ole Miss and at Mississippi State, which is not a cakewalk, right, against two teams like, play super well at home. But in those midweeks, Samford, Troy, and then they finish up with LSU and Auburn. Like, if they're able to find a way to, like, get back to 500 in the SEC with an RPI, I think they're, like, right at around 20 right now. It's only going to get more difficult with, like, this upcoming slate. So I'll eat a bar of soap. I'll bite my tongue. I haven't, like, believed in them because I still can't believe, like, what happened last year and how we're still not talking about it in a weird way. But, like, hell of a resilient group to be able to, like, wash it and just keep on rolling.
Yeah, it's – dude, and another interesting thing about Alabama. So they're 6-9 in the SEC, right? Well, they're 0-6 in conference on the road. They lost. They got swept by Georgia at Georgia. They got swept by Kentucky at Kentucky. Well, guess what? They won 2 out of 3 against Tennessee. Remember about a month ago? Won 2 out of 3 against Tennessee at home. They win 2 out of 3 at home against South Carolina. Win 2 out of 3 at home against Arkansas. Now they get Texas A&M at home. So this is a dangerous team at home. And if they win this series, like, I think it solidifies them as a regional host. Like, I think Alabama would have a resume. Especially with the remaining games that they have in the SEC, they have Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, and Auburn, like four of the bottom tier teams in the SEC. And they'll have series wins against Kentucky, Arkansas, A&M, and Tennessee.
They would have a series win over number 4, a series win over number 2, and a series, or well, at the time, number 1, and a series win over number 1. That would be three top five teams they'd have series wins over.
At home.
And but then they lose. A series win over number 20, South Carolina.
Yeah. So and Alabama's a very interesting team. If you're a college baseball investor, like maybe take a shot. I wonder what they are to make it to Omaha. I'm sure it's probably plus money, like maybe like plus 150, plus 200 for Alabama to make it to Omaha. Because if they can get into that regional hosting picture – they've already proved that they win games at home. And, you know, you got to like their chances winning a regional, winning a super regional, and just at least getting to Omaha.
Let me ask you this. I know 2 weeks ago we talked about Kentucky being a pretender or contender. I'm still not ready to make them a contender. And here's why. And I like Kentucky. I really do. I just think there's a difference between your Alabamas, your Ole Misses, and your Auburn this year. Tennessee, that's a big-time series. Knowing you're ranked higher than Tennessee, you've got to win that series if you want to prove yourself and get the doubters off your back. Go on the road to South Carolina, Founders Park. That's a hard series to win. At home against Arkansas, and then at Florida, and then at home with Vanderbilt. Kentucky's got nothing proven yet. They've got everything in front of them. This season rides on the next 5 weeks.
I wouldn't say the season rides. Like, they're gonna make the postseason, so it doesn't matter. Like, once they get in the postseason, anything can happen. But what you're saying is, like, they're fighting for not only a national seed, but possibly the number one overall seed. If they handle business over the last four weekends, like, they're probably gonna be the number one overall seed.
You know, I think the more I think, now you just said that, the more I think about it, you know what I think it was? Last year, they were scorching hot. They did the same thing last year. And then they just hit the gauntlet of their SEC schedule and fell off the cliff, but they still hosted. And then they had to go to Baton Rouge for that Super Regional, and they got spanked. I mean, I think that they went, did they take it to a game three? No, they got swept in two, right?
I don't remember.
Jack, do you remember?
They got beat in that regional. I don't know if – I think they weren't 2 in a queue. I think they made it – they had a – I think they lost opening night, and then they made it they won a game in the consolation bracket. No. And they got
beat. Anyway. My point is the stigma or whatever, the perception of Kentucky, is they do really good against the lower half-ish, and then they struggle against the high-end team. That's where I'm sitting right now. Like, I don't see Kentucky finishing top two in the SEC. I mean, they're 14-1 or whatever, but it's like, I need to see them beat Tennessee this weekend. I need to see it. I need to see them beat Tennessee this week.
Yeah. Like, that's to your first time. To your point, like, in years past, like, they've gone and beaten the teams they were supposed to beat, and they're always at the top of the RPI because they do a great job of, like, going and finding, like, the best teams in, like, the SoCon or the CAA or the Big South, and they go meet up on those teams. But they do have Tennessee, Carolina, Arkansas, Florida, Vandy to finish, right? Like, holy shit. So if you can hang on, right, almost just finish 500 through those remaining weekends. Yeah, dude, find a way to go 500 through the last 15. We talked about him last week where I was like, I've been paying enough attention towards, like, a top tier team. I think the reason that they're surprising everyone is because they have guys that are over exceeding expectations in a way that they could have probably never imagined. Like, I mentioned Nicky Lopez, who's got that great stash. Like, he was a Southern Cal transfer who had never hit over 280, and he's hitting close to 400. But they got guys on campus that have been there for a couple of years, like Ron Waldschmidt, who went bonkers against Louisville on Tuesday. He actually transferred from Charleston Southern close to 2 years ago. This is his third year on campus. Plays center, like, he's a crazy athlete. Like, they just, like, been slowly building these pieces, and maybe now is the time. Like, they're ready for that next step. They've looked like the part. They've played the part, but – they're about to be closed door. It's game on, because the next 5 weeks are going to be insane.
I hope they do. They're a fun team to watch. I enjoy them.
Yeah, dude, I thought they had a huge look ahead game on Tuesday at Louisville. I made it known on Twitter. I invested in Louisville plus 130 money line at home. And before you knew it, it was like 14-5. Kentucky was just hitting two run double. Dimitri, look up and count how many quadrant one games Kentucky has left this year, because there's like 20 games left. How many do they have? Because, like, right now, I think they've played
A, B, C, D, E, F,
G, H, I'm trying to get you to count.
J, K, L. What letter is L in the alphabet? Or what number is L in the alphabet?
Just count it.
At least 11. Hey, I'll tell you this. I went and looked it up because I was
Dimitri
curious.
Dimitri 1, Ben 0.
That's fair.
Kentucky last year, I knew they came through the consolation side. Beat Ball State. Indiana beat them. In game two, they beat West Virginia. I remember they won their whole game. And then they had to beat Indiana twice, which they did. But then they went 2-2 down in Baton Rouge. I forgot about that series.
They went 2-2. That's what I thought.
Yeah, in the Super. I thought they got beat.
All right. I'm going to take the lead here. I think it's kind of fun every now and then. I make my return back to the 11.7 podcast. I'm going to take the lead here again. Here's our next point of topic. ACC, Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina. Who are we taking to win the ACC from here on out?
Look, I still think Florida State's the best overall team in the ACC. I know they got swept at Clemson. They should have absolutely won at least 2 out of 3 there. They blew 2 huge leads. And I don't know. I don't know what happened that weekend, but, and I know, hey, Mercer Bears beat Florida State in the midweek. Hello. What's up, Mercer?
Midweeks don't matter, dude. Come on.
Midweeks matter.
The only the SEC, the midweeks don't matter.
Yes. Yeah. Which is like partly true kind of for the SEC, but
it is very true.
Yeah. But anyways, I still think like overall Florida State's the best overall team in the ACC. I know I'm going to get crap online for that, but like just using the eyeball test, I don't think there's really a metric that separates those three other than Clemson sweeping Florida State. But eyeball test, like what has happened this year, Florida State has first round talent. Like they have they're the only team that like I can rely on 3 starting pitchers out of those 3 teams. So I don't know. I'm going to say Florida State goes the furthest in the postseason out of those 3, but I've been wrong a lot recently. So
hey,
probably good for Clemson and UNC fans.
Hey, I just want you guys to see something really quick. I'm not like trying to toot my horn here, but do you guys see this right here?
Yeah, you switched up. Remember, it's a podcast. We got to say what we're showing. Yeah. So Dimitri is showing us our conference projections mid-season that when we switched. After I have Wake Forest. He switched from Wake Forest to Florida State, and Jack switched from Wake Forest to Duke.
By the way, I think Wake Forest not dead yet.
So you beat me to my point. You said, and it's when you're looking at the Coastal versus the ACC in general, if you're looking at just the Coastal, Wake sitting at 6-6, with they kind of control their own destiny, right? They're going to have Florida State this weekend, then 3 with Notre Dame, then Clemson about 2 weeks, and then they finish up with NC State. Boys, go buy your shirts now. Wake Forest is alive. Wake Forest is alive. They're only 3.5 back. Thank you for pulling up that. 9-9 in conference. When you look at the Coastal Division, I think it's North Carolina's to run away with. I've been so impressed, and they've kind of, when you talk about a cupcake schedule, like they've got VT at home. Like all their big, difficult series are all at home. So when you look at what North Carolina has to come, like I think they kind of run away with their side of the bracket as well. But Wake's good, man. Like they're coming and they figured it out. They got those nice veteran pieces and Cole Roland out of the back end. So I feel good about them. So controlling their own destiny is huge this time of the year as well. So there's no hot, cold, hot theory with Wake. It was just really shitty. And now they're in Wake.
I mean, it was hot, molten. I mean, it was hot. I'm talking Antarctic, igloo cold. They get going. I like Wake still. I really do. But I just want to point something out. Ben, who is 6th in the Coastal Division? How do you feel about them?
The Miami Hurricanes are rest in peace and dead. Just so dead. I think they've lost 7 straight ACC games. They've lost 4 in a row total. They got beat in the midweek to Bethune-Cookman. The Miami Hurricanes are dead, fellas. I'm sorry for anybody that I hyped up. I was a big believer in them. Thought they would be good. Dude, they're trash.
Well, hey, I also would like to say this about the ACC. Similar, maybe eerily similar to your SoCon conversation earlier, where it's always going to come down to that last weekend. Them and North Carolina, the last weekend of the year, for all the marbles, right? And that one's actually in Durham. Jack Coombs Field. So, like, I got to anticipate that's going to be the most electric that stadium's been in close to 3 decades. So, for that side, when we made our ACC picks, it's just overall record for the entire ACC? Or is it I never remembered. Is it the championship or is it just the regular season?
I don't remember either.
Whatever. That one's going to be fun, though.
Wait, what was the question? Sorry, I was blanking out.
for our like preseason conference standing picks, was it conference champion or was it regular season?
Regular season champion. Regular season champion. But fellas. Buzz buddies, busters, fellas. Clemson schedule the rest of the way. Pittsburgh at home. Louisville on the road. Georgia Tech at home. Big time one at Wake, and then Boston College at home. Clemson is in the driver's seat to win the ACC.
Yep. Yeah, did you see them play last weekend, though?
I did. NC State had a good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I am happy that Clemson bounced back on Sunday. Like, showed me that, you know, they can bounce back. Those first two games were ugly, and it's maybe because I was investing in Clemson those 2 days. They let me down big time again, so now they're off limits. But you're right. Like, the schedule is very favorable for them moving forward. They got some tough midweek games coming up. But other than that, like Clemson should win the regular season ACC. I just think Florida State will go the furthest in the postseason.
Here's Florida State. Big-time series at Wake Forest this weekend, right? We know about that. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about it in a little bit. At Duke. And then they've got NC State, Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech. If they get through the next 2 weekends, let's circle back on Sunday, April 28th. And I'll tell you, I mean, obviously it's going to be really easy to pick by that point. But I'm telling you, it's going to come down. I think North Carolina is going to end up winning this conference overall because those two teams still got – I mean, let me see Carolina real quick. Virginia Tech, Louisville, North Carolina, NC State, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Duke. I don't know.
Well, I mean, North Carolina's got a tough one this weekend. I mean, starting tonight, Thursday night, they play three games at NC State in Raleigh.
Big time rivalry, by the way.
Yeah, huge rivalry. And NC State's played really well at home this year. I've been impressed. Like, Alec Makarevich is freaking, I think he's at like 60 RBI, switch hitter. He's red hot at the plate right now. You know, Sam Heifel looks back to like his 2021 season. I don't know. There's some really good talent at NC State. I think they're going to defend home, their home turf. Yeah. I don't know.
My last thought about this discussion is offense wins from this time forward, from this point on in the year, all the way through Omaha. Offense wins. Florida State got by far the best lineup, and probably top five lineup in the country, in my opinion.
I agree with that. What was the other segment we were going to do? So it was mid-major hosts, and then
– we were going to talk about hot, cold, hot, but we're kind of talking about it as we go.
Yeah, we're already kind of talking about it. Something else that I wanted to do here on this episode, really the only thing I wrote down, was D1 Baseball came out with their regional projections, and there was a couple things that caught my eye. I'm pulling it up right now, Dimitri. I'll share my screen. But, like, there were some teams in there that they put that they're projecting to – I guess get back on the
hey, by the way, while you're wagon. While you're sharing that, guys, listeners out there, guys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, Ben texted me yesterday, hey, you want to do a field of 64 later tonight? I'm free. I responded with all cap, yes, !! Never heard from him again. So that's why we don't have one.
I had a sick 2-year-old. My 2-year-old is sick. So it's been a little bit chaotic week. He's feeling better though. He's double ear infection. Double ear infection. I didn't want to have him listen to me talk to Dimitri and maybe infect those ears a little bit more. So we'll get ours out there. But here's D1 Baseball. So obviously, like, they're projecting based off of, like, I guess what's happening right now, I would assume. I don't really know, but this Texas A&M regional, if A&M is the host, see, they don't have Louisiana as a host. They have them as the 2 seed in College Station. But this one surprises me a lot. Texas is a 3 seed. I think Texas has a long ways to go, fellas, before they're even in that regional picture.
Real quick. This projection cannot be as of today. It's got to be what they project in the future. Texas sitting at 76 RPI. That's not today.
Right. So they're projecting Texas to, I guess, you know, heat back up, play good baseball. But, like, Jack's a big Texas fan, and you've seen the games that they've been playing. They've been ugly, dude. Like, even terrible. Their wins have kind of been ugly.
Terrible. How about – what a kick in the teeth, though, for the Raging Cajuns. Like, if they continue to run the table and then, like, to be a 2 and, like, arguably the best team in the land, like, to have to go 2 College Station would be such a buzzkill.
Yeah. I mean, that's projecting them to be the first two seed. So, and I guess this is kind of projecting Texas to be kind of in that last four in picture.
Yep.
And then it's matched up in the Morgantown region. So they're high on West Virginia. They have West Virginia as a host, 16 overall seed. Virginia Tech, Rutgers, Wright State. That would be a fun regional. So they're high on Rutgers. They're high on Virginia Tech, too. Like, I know Virginia Tech's, like, ranked, but they really don't have a ton of big series wins. But they have Virginia Tech as, like, probably top two or three two seed, right?
I mean, they're 37 RPI, 3-4 quad one. I mean, 11-7 in the ACC. So they are currently in that two seed range.
Yeah, but like to be the best overall two seed?
I was going to say the Cajuns get hosed.
Oh, not even close.
Yeah.
Come on, Ben. You know geography plays more into your regional pairing.
Not recently, though. I feel like the committee's done a better job of like kind of ranking the teams 1 to 64 rather than region. Like when we were playing and before that, it was like region based. But over the last 4 or 5 years, it's been more of a ranked 1 through 64, like the best two seeds going to go to the worst one seed.
Have they really, though?
Yeah, I mean,
Tennessee got hosed 1 year. Last year, who got hosed? Somebody got hosed big time.
They put Tennessee in that Clemson region.
It was last year. Tennessee and Clemson got absolutely hosed getting Tennessee. That was more regional-based. 2 years ago before that, Tennessee got a red-hot Campbell team that they had no business being in there. And they got Georgia Tech in that regional. Then their fourth seed with Rice State. Tennessee, weren't they the number one overall seed that year?
I don't remember.
Yes, they were. 2022, they were the number one overall seed because when Notre Dame went in town,
They were a powerhouse. They lost like five games all that year.
All right. Anyways, so they have Arkansas, 2 national seed, Oklahoma, 2 seed, Lamar, 3 seed. Little Rock 4 seed. So they have Lamar kind of falling off. I mean, I think Lamar will end up being a 3 seed. I don't think they'll be a 4 seed just based off of like the resume so far, but like if they don't win out, like they're going to be a 3 seed, I would imagine. This one was an interesting regional. So they have Boston College as a 3 seed at South Carolina with Coastal as the 2 seed and then USC Upstate as the 4. So again, another Sun Belt team that is not hosting, that D1 baseball is projecting. And then they have Boston College, which we just looked at the ACC standings. Boston College is going to end up playing pretty well down the stretch.
I was going to say you're getting my live reaction. What the hell business do they have getting into this tournament?
Right now, nothing.
All right. They're 7-11 in the ACC with Notre Dame, Virginia, Louisville, Louisville, 2-game series against Maryland on a weekend, and then at Clemson. I don't see Boston College making the tournament. I don't see them getting to 500. 7-11. Let's say they take 2 out of 3 out of Notre Dame. That's 9-12. They lose 2 out of 3 to Virginia. That's 10-14. Fuck it. Let's give them a 2 out of 3 at Louisville. That's 12-15. They lose 2 out of 3 to Clemson. That's 13-17. They're not getting in the tournament, dude.
That's what I was saying. Like, this was a surprising 3 seed here. Like, between them and Texas so far, I was like, that's weird. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna disagree. I just think it was weird. The Clemson region, they have projected Clemson as the number 3 overall seed. And then Mississippi State 2 seed, which I thought was kind of weird. Kennesaw State 3 seed. And then Sacred Heart is the 4. Just like, I don't see Mississippi State being a 2 seed. Like, I think they're either going to be like catch fire at the end of the year and become a 1 seed, or they're going to end up being a 3 seed or left out of the tournament. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's rare that we see SEC 2 seeds.
I mean, Mississippi State, 1 game under .500 in the SEC, 57 RPI, Auburn, Vandy, Alabama, Arkansas, Missouri left on the schedule. I think if they're going to make the tournament, they're going to be a 2 seed because, I mean, they won some big-time series.
I'll tell you what, though. The only thing that stands out in this series is that Clemson's going to be furious to see Kennesaw State again. Furious.
I forgot about that.
17-run shellacking. They're going to get those Owls the hell away from us.
Yeah. Also, you know what's crazy? Like, Clemson getting a Sacred Heart team as the four seed. Meanwhile, Arkansas gets Little Rock, and Little Rock's got like a legitimate ace. There was another one. And South Carolina getting like Upstate. Like, Clemson would feel really lucky to have Sacred Heart as a four seed, especially with like all the four seed talent like around the Carolinas. Like, they would love to have Sacred Heart.
Absolutely.
But anyways, that one's matched up against Duke, 14 overall seed. Vanderbilt is a 2, San Diego 3, Columbia is a 4. What is it that, like, I feel like San Diego and Columbia are always a package deal in regionals. Maybe they've never played in a regional together, but I always put those two teams in projected regionals together.
Why are you thinking that? Because Columbia with the Virginia Tech 2 years ago, Columbia didn't even make it last year.
For some reason, I remember a regional with San Diego and Columbia. Maybe two regionals.
They weren't in Austin. They weren't at the Texas regional.
It's just the jerseys.
Maryland or Andy. Virginia Tech, maybe?
No, that was Columbia with the 4, Virginia Tech and
Clemson,
Maryland. Rice State with the 3 at that regional, or Rice State with the 4, Columbia with the 3. One or the other. They were both in that regional. Right.
I don't know, but this one. I mean, it looks like a regional, right? Duke, Vanderbilt, like, San Diego, like Columbia.
I feel like Duke and Vandy are in each other's regionals or super regional all the time. I don't know why I have a knife in my hand. I'll put that down. Not scare anybody, but anyway.
This is such a soft regional here. I know Bowling Green's 15-0 in the MAC. Like, I know Illinois Chicago is like doing okay in the Missouri Valley, but Kentucky would pay to have this regional. I know Arizona's red hot. Like, they've won 15 of the last 17 games, but dude, come on. Like, Kentucky's like, all right. Arizona, Illinois, Chicago, Bowling Green, like, sign us up right now today.
The only way this is happening is because Illinois, Chicago is going to get the automatic bid, right? That they're assuming they're going to get the automatic bid. They're 55 RPI. I feel like that's just lazy. I feel like that's just one of those teams that are just like, fuck it, automatic bid, plug them in. Okay, oh shit, we have 3 teams left. They're one of the highest RPI teams.
Their automatic bid is going to be Indiana State out of the Missouri Valley.
Right.
So they have Illinois, Chicago as an at-large.
You're right. So where the hell are they getting that from?
I don't know, dude. That's why I was like confused to see them here.
Okay. Hey, Illinois, Chicago, 55 RPI. Guess who's right behind them at 56? UNC Greensboro. They're 20-15. They have 3 quad one wins. And they're 7-5 in the SoCon, just like Illinois, Chicago, 7-5 in the Missouri Valley.
We quite literally just talked about the conference RPIs before this. Like, with all due respect. Right.
Will you two quit talking at the exact same time?
I know. Go ahead, Jack.
No, pencil and pen talk are just like all in the same thing. We talked about this like with the Missouri Valley. I understand that like Indiana State's really good, but when you look at the RPI as a whole, like give me the SoCon or like the CAA, far greater than the Missouri Valley Conference. I that one was kind of shocking to me.
I mean, literally Georgetown 8-1 in the Big East. They're three and four against quad. They have 3 more quad one teams than Illinois, Chicago. They're 26-10. Like, where the hell did Illinois, Chicago come from? Is that the Barstool bump or something?
All I know is I saw PFT commenters shove it up Illinois, Chicago's ass back in, what was it, February or January? Like, they couldn't hit off of a 39-year-old podcaster, and now they're projected to get an at-large in the NCAA tournament. Anyways, it'd be cool. Shout out Curtis Granderson, Illinois, Chicago.
Hey,
but anyways,
Bowling Green, if you're listening, real quick, Ben, if Bowling Green, if you're listening, if you guys start 18-0, you're automatically put in the mid-major top 25. 15-0 wasn't enough. 18-0 and you're in.
Yeah, they're close. They're close. Good storyline. Bowling Green, undefeated in the MAC, 15-0. They almost cut their baseball program 4 years ago, and alumni stepped up. Also, it's a good segue. Shout out to LaSalle University. LaSalle getting baseball back after 4 years. Good for them.
That was my only note that I had for this podcast was LaSalle coming back.
How LaSalle's embarrassing back. is it How embarrassing is it that LaSalle gets their program back, but Furman still can't?
There's some politics behind Furman's that we won't discuss, but it has to do with their AD. Anyways, Stillwater Regional. Always love Oklahoma State hosting regionals just because you're looking at 15 to 14 games every single day, even on Friday. I mean, this is very similar to like what we've seen over the last 2 years. Hey, Oklahoma State, Dallas Baptist, Grand Canyon, Creighton. Like, I know Creighton's kind of the new kids on the block in this regional, but like Grand Canyon's been in this regional. Dallas Baptist won it last year. No, they did not actually. Who won the regional last year? Washington. Washington won it.
Oral Roberts.
Yeah. You're right. But yeah, this is a fun regional. I think Creighton's good enough to make it as an at-large out of the Big East, but they could also win the Big East. Tallahassee, 5-seed, Georgia, UCF, Florida A&M. Imagine if you get two Tallahassee teams in that regional.
Hey, remember what I said before the season started?
Nope.
No. Tallahassee's team, Tallahassee postseason team gets their 2024 season underway. And it was a video of Florida A&M starting like BP and like their first spring practice. I'm going to go find that one and probably kind of just delete it and let it just disappear into the Twitter.
No, you can't delete it.
We don't delete tweets. But Florida State, oh my God, they mop them now. They would absolutely mop them, but it was fun at the time.
Yeah, and also UCF. I mean, last week we were talking about them hosting a regional. They get swept at West Virginia, which Jack and I called on the podcast. And now they're looking at a 3-seed at the number 5 overall.
That's a hard-ass regional.
This would be fun, though. I mean, you get Florida State, like Charlie Condon in Georgia. UCF like has won a lot of games in Tallahassee over the last couple of years. And then Florida A&M just coming right across the street. So that would be fun. D1 Baseball also projects Indiana State to host a regional as a 12-seed. This is just a good old-fashioned Midwest regional. I would love to see Nebraska host, obviously, because I love Haymarket Park. But Nebraska is the 2, Kansas State is the 3, St. Louis is the 4. St. Louis still has a really good record this year. They've only lost like maybe 8 or 9 games. But, yeah, this is just a good, clean, old-fashioned Midwest baseball. Knoxville is the 6 overall seed. Tennessee Northeastern is a 2, which is tough. This one surprised me. They still have TCU as a 3 seed in the tournament. I have not seen this TCU team be a regional caliber team since February. So they're projecting like a late season surge, I imagine. And then obviously Niagara as the 4 seed, but I mean, do you guys think TCU is going to end up getting in the tournament? Because like, I really don't. With like a 7-11 Big 12 record right now,
I mean,
I could see him pulling off what they did last year and going on a big run. I was still surprised that they had Oklahoma State, who I know is like third in the Big 12 right now, hosting. Like, I don't know if I've seen a lot out of the Big 12 in general to give them this much love.
Hey. They've got it. I will say this. They have it in front of them. They have everything in front of them. At Texas, Dallas Baptist, at home versus Kansas State, at Baylor, New Mexico State, Baylor, West Virginia. They can heat up and get going a little bit and find themselves right back in the tournament, no problem. But where are we going to base that off of? Like, what gives me the confidence, or any of us the confidence, that they're going to do that? Like, I just don't see it.
Like last year? I mean, last year's really the only thing we can lean on and say, hey, they turned it on last year, so like they can do it again.
I was going to say, I don't want to be a Houston Astros like front office executive, but like, hey, just look at the back of the baseball card, man. Look what TCU's done the last couple of years. Look at what they've done the last couple of years. I'm sure they'll get it going. That's truthfully what that selection's based on.
Yeah.
I saw that. That is so funny you just brought that up. I saw that back of the baseball card quote, and it's like apparently it's like the 10th time he said that.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up. I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
All right.
Anyways, that one is paired with the Wake Forest Regional. They have Wake Forest, 11 seed. This is another surprising team. Like Texas Tech is a 3 seed. Look, I I don't even know if Texas Tech's going to make it in the tournament. They're struggling. I know they had a lead, like a 7-run lead against Arkansas in the midweek, ended up blowing that and losing. I don't think Texas Tech's going to make this tournament. Also, like, I still think UC Irvine could host a regional. So, it's weird that Wake Forest, they put two West Coast teams plus Lubbock, which we consider West Coast. Like, when Texas Tech hosts a regional, we're like, oh, yeah, the West got another regional just because it's so far West Texas. But it's kind of a weird regional to look at. Wake Forest, UC Irvine, Texas Tech, Fresno State. It doesn't sit right with the gut.
Dude, that's like, you know what that regional is? That's you sitting around with your buddies drunk as hell at 3 o'clock in the morning going, let's name the four most random schools I can think of. That's all that game is.
Name four Omaha teams since 2008. Go. Random. Yeah. But they're pretty high in North Carolina. If North Carolina is the 7 overall seed, Oregon traveling to North Carolina as the 2, they still have Florida in the tournament, which I guess it makes sense. Like, they're just below 500 in SEC play, but they've been bad all year. And then Bryant as the 4 seed. Thoughts on this? Anybody?
That is such a name brand looking regional outside of Bryant, like North Carolina, Oregon, Florida. Like, that's all. If you're just not a college baseball like follower and you just see this regional, you're like, dude, this regional is loaded.
Yeah, Nike would be stoked. Nike would be so stoked to get all three.
This is the Nike regional. Yep, the Air Jordan regional.
Hey, if you're Nike, you say, hey, Brian, you guys win a game in this regional, you got to deal with us.
Yeah. Facts.
No, if you win the regional, you will completely outfit your baseball program for the next 10 years.
And check this out on the YouTube. How about Zen being a pop-up sponsor for D1 baseball? Do you see it? Right next to my head? Zen nicotine pouches right there. Shout out D1 baseball. I guess getting that sponsorship or whatever. But anyway, Charlottesville regional, Virginia is the 1, Alabama 2, Utah 3, Georgetown 4. I don't know what to think about this regional.
Like, why Georgetown 4 in Illinois, Chicago with 3?
I don't know. I'm telling you, this was a weird projection.
I'll tell you what I've seen so far, and I know we're about halfway through them. Some Power 5 schools that, in my opinion, haven't done enough on the actual dirt to, like, get into this tournament, and a lot of mid-majors getting boned to high hell.
Yep.
Like, I haven't seen a ton of Sun Belt guys. I haven't seen a ton of, like, I don't know. So that, like, what's the Pac-12? Utah's 24-11. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to raise so much fucking hell on Twitter on Selection Monday if there's a group of teams that don't make it and some of these sorry-ass Power 5 schools get in. Oh, boy, I'm going to raise some fucking hell. Because that is just – I'm so sick and tired of it.
Yep, I'll be right there with you. I do it every year. It doesn't even matter if there's a ton of mid-major teams. If, like, one of them gets shafted, I'm raising hell. Anyways, Corvallis region, number 8 overall seed, Oregon State hosting Santa Barbara, Portland, Army. I think Oregon State would sign up for this regional today.
But at the same time, it's a well-balanced regional. I don't hate this regional at all. You get your West Coast geography, but you still get a good 2 seed. Portland is the bona fide 3 seed. They like fit the 3 seed picture perfectly at the mid-major. And then you get Army. They have unlimited budget. Send them wherever they need to go.
Yep. And then that's matched up last regional here, Greenville regional. They have ECU as the 9 overall seed. Just outside. Dude, listen, if I'm East Carolina, I'm kind of pissed. Being like, hey, if we run our regional, we have to go to Corvallis, Oregon. Are you serious? And I know this is all just hypothetical, everything. But East Carolina is hosting NC State. Southern Miss is the 3 seed. Samford is the 4. I mean, this would just be a gauntlet of a regional, especially for the number 9 overall seed. You get NC State, who has proven like a lot of postseason success. Plus, they're right down the road from Greenville, so like they'll bring their crowd. Southern Miss, like built for the postseason, I want to say, like hard to eliminate, hard to beat this team twice. And then Samford, which might be like the best, like, dude, they might be the best. What's it called? Like, not mid-major, but If Howard, you take out like the Sun Belt, the Conference USA, Big West, American, like the really, really low majors, low mid majors, or whatever you want to say, like Samford is super talented.
Are they better than Lamar?
Yes.
I would take.
I don't know. Yeah. I think they're close.
3-game weekend, I'll take Samford over Lamar. No doubt.
I think I might too. I think I might too.
I've seen Samford. They rake. They're so good. Yeah.
D1 baseball knew what they were doing, putting Southern Miss in this fucking regional. I'm sorry, but send them to a Power 5 conference team regional. Stop sending them to another mid-major team regional. Stop doing it. Send them.
Wait. Time out. 30-second time out. What are you mad about?
I know.
Sending a high-end program like Southern Miss to another mid-majors regional. Send them to a Power 5 conference regional.
Why does that make you mad?
Yeah. Because like why? Like we got to stay here knowing guaranteed East Carolina or Southern Miss's seasons are over. Guaranteed one of them are done. Why not send Southern Miss and go ruin Alabama's dream? Or send them and go ruin Wake Forest's dream? Or send them to go ruin somebody else's dream? Why do they have to be in East Carolina's regional? Separate them. Get them away from each other. We want every mid-major team to have a chance to go.
Okay. I mean, it would actually improve the mid-major chances of getting to a super regional, though. I mean, no, you would have a 3 out of 4 shot.
No.
You'd have a 3 out of 4 shot.
I mean, yes, technically you have a 3 out of 4 shot, but you know how that goes. NC State ends up winning it.
All right. I think Samford would win that regional. They were close last year.
That would be sick.
Remember that Auburn regional last year? It was like Penn and Samford in the winners take or the winners bracket game, and then Southern Miss that came through the losers bracket and beat Auburn, then Samford, then Penn twice.
Samford choked that game, by the way.
I know. Yep.
All right. So anyways, what stood out to y'all there? Before we move on, what stood out there? I saw they're out on LSU, probably rightfully so. Mm-hmm. No Troy, which I know are our diaper dandies.
And, but you know they were discussing LSU. Yeah. Like they were – D1 baseball was saying like, is there a chance that we could just throw LSU in there? Like can they win the next 4 weekends?
Hey, did they – they didn't even have Oklahoma hosting.
They didn't have Oklahoma as a host. Nope. They had the Big 12 kind of upside down. They didn't have UTSA. I just saw East Carolina. UTSA.
They had James Madison out. They had San Diego out.
Nope, San Diego was in it.
With Columbia. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was Columbia. Yeah. Did they have Arizona in?
Yep.
Had Arizona
seed in there. At Kentucky.
Right.
But
right.
The only one that stood out to me is they didn't have – no Louisville, which is, I think, kind of a borderline one. I know the RPI is bad right now, but I think they can make a little bit of a run.
Where did they put Northeastern?
Put Northeastern two seed against Tennessee, maybe? Yeah, Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, will say that I'm a total homer for the CAA, but Northeastern as a 2 and nobody else last year was a 2 bid lead with UNCW and Northeastern. UNCW with the RPI is 64 right now, so they were probably on their little bubble. But between UNCW, College Charleston, William and Mary, Northeastern, like those are all 4 teams that are going to be sitting right on that 60 RPI at the end of the year. And I think they deserve 2, in my opinion, 3 teams. But
where did they put Lamar?
3 seed at the 4 seed at A&M, right? Or 3 seed at A&M?
Yeah. So that means okay. Yep. That
Texas
means,
was the.
That means Maryland out, Old Dominion out. UConn stinks. Georgia Southern out.
Well, they only had 3 Sun Belt teams, right? And 0 Sun Belt hosts.
Yep.
None.
At Coastal, so Southern Miss, and Louisiana.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. It's fun to talk about. We're coming out with our own, damn it. We're going to do our own next week, Ben.
Yep.
Plug Brooks' beard in. I mean, I can send him my shit and plug those things in and whatever. We'll take care of it.
Yeah. But let's do this. Go ahead and share your screen. Let's do our weekend series pick 'em. We'll kind of preview the weekend, too, because there were some other big series that we just didn't add in. But the 6 series here, we have Louisiana Raging Cajuns at Coastal. Big-time Sun Belt matchup. Florida State at Wake Forest, probably the biggest non-SEC series in the country. Tennessee at Kentucky, that's a huge, huge series. Number 3 versus number 4, or number 4 versus number 5. UNCW at Northeastern, like you get basically the keys to the CAA if you win that conference or this weekend. And then UNC at NC State, that actually starts tonight, right?
Yep, yep.
Thursday night. Yep. So be sure to get your picks in. Sorry we had to do a Thursday night series, but we'll be lenient. Like if you get your picks in like in the first or second inning, like we'll still take it. And then TCU at Texas is that last series. And like this is a must win for both of those teams. Must win series for TCU at Texas. Both are scuffling big time right about now. So you guys want to start at the top or start at the bottom? I'll let Dimitri decide.
In the middle, baby.
All right, let's start in the middle. UNCW at Northeastern. Jack, this is up your territory, but as far as what I know, like UNCW, they won the regular season. They won the conference tournament last year in the CAA. They got Tanner Thatch, who has 20 homers this year and a pretty big stadium, like not like a hitter-friendly ballpark. And he was just a big time. I remember him last year in the CAA tournament. I was sitting down with the scouts, and they were like, "Yeah, we're kind of big on this guy. You know, big left-handed hitter. He's got power. He's going up to the Cape this summer." And like he was an underclassman. I think he was a freshman last year, right? Or maybe
freshman.
Freshman last year. And they're like, "This kid's like super talented." Well, he made a huge step forward this year. He's leading that offense. UNCW 10-2 in the CAA, and Northeastern was everybody's like preseason darlings for mid majors. Their two best players are like two of their worst hitters in the lineup. Like their two preseason All Americans have not, Maldonado and Sirota, like they're just like not performing the way that people thought they would. So this was actually like a really interesting series. It's on Flow Sports. So if you have a Flow Sports subscription, definitely check it out. Here's like kind of my thinking. I talked about it early this year. For a mid-major to win the College World Series, like the Coastal Carolinas, the Fresno States, the Cal State Fullertons, like these teams, they all kind of fit the same formula. And it's like be preseason ranked, underachieve during the regular season, and then get hot like during the postseason. That's exactly what Fresno State did. That's exactly what Coastal Carolina did. We know every 8 years, mid-major wins the national championship. Northeastern fits almost exactly what that formula is. Preseason ranked top 25, underachieve throughout the whole year, and then get hot with some superstars. I'm going to take Northeastern to win this series at home. I think they're about to get right and start rolling people, really. When Sirota and Maldonado get hot, like they're going to start scoring a bunch more runs. So give me Northeastern.
Give me the Husky. Ben said everything. They were one of my favorite preseason teams. Mid-major teams make Omaha. I'm going to still stick by my boy.
Yeah. Well, dang it. It kind of alters my decision a little bit. I want to brag on those teams, too, because they're both conference – like, they're both regional teams, in my opinion. UNCW's first in the country in fielding percentage. They're starting shortstop a year ago. Tabor Mongera is actually a coach for them now and has done a great job with them defensively. To your point, Thatch was a high school draft guy, and he wanted to come play for this program. Randy Hood has taken it and picked up right where they've left off. It's winning pedigree. It's a standard. And their only two losses in the CAA came to a College of Charleston team, who, by the way, is catching fire right now. Like, they've been really good. So that's a really good ball club. I like Northeastern because, to your point, Ben, like, their two best hitters haven't really stepped up the way they thought yet. Alex Lane is – top 10 in the country in RBIs, their big first baseman. They've got studs littered throughout their lineup and similar recipe as last year. Their starting rotation don't walk people. Like, they throw to bats. Got good stuff. It's not overwhelming, but they've got good stuff that plays in the zone. And I just think it's a really tough place to play, right? Like, it's a really tough ask for an conference team to go play in the Northeast where the weather's still cold and maybe a little crappy, and that plays right into the Huskies' hands. This is a rematch of last year's CAA championship, and I like Northeastern, so congratulations to Randy Hood and the squad. I love them a ton. I've been able to make my way up to Wilmington, you know, in the last year or so, and I like them a lot. So that's why we took them, is because now we've guaranteed them a series dub.
Yeah, Randy Hood, big fan of the pod. He listens to the pod and he retweets and likes all our stuff on Twitter. Sorry we're picking against you, but it's probably a good thing that all three of us took Northeastern. Also, Glavin, Mike Glavin, big fan of the pod. Jack got to interview him preseason. Loves the 11.7 and the pencil talk guys. So big series for the brand here.
Huge series for the brand. I flipped a coin, in all honesty.
Love that. All right, here we go. We'll go down. North Carolina at NC State starts tonight, Thursday night. This is probably like my most confident pick, just because I'm going gut instinct. I'm going North Carolina. Like, NC State has been such a roller coaster. I know they played well at home, but they did just beat Clemson 2 out of 3. I'm expecting a fall down from NC State. A lot of pressure at home. The crowd's going to be probably 60-40 in favor of them, but there's going to be a ton of UNC fans. Jack and I did the road trip, what was it, 4 weeks ago, about a month ago, and they're really close, obviously, to each other. I think it's going to be a very emotional series. I'm going to take North Carolina. I think they just have a little bit more on the back end of the bullpen and the depth of the starting pitching. So give me UNC.
Yeah, I mean, I was literally going to pick this series solely because NC State beat Clemson last weekend. I think they fall back a little bit, and Carolina take the series. Carolina Tar Heels win the series.
Good, because I got the pack, and I'm going to tell you why. You mentioned the back end of the bullpen. Alec Mekarevich, who I think is one of the more talented hitters in the country, is kind of pioneering this offense, and we've forgotten about Cozart a little bit. When you talk about the back end of a pen, Jacob Duden is the closer for NC State. He's like 19 years old and throws like 97 miles per hour. Like, when did this happen in college baseball where everyone that feels like we got flamethrowers? Like, this kid never played college baseball 10 to 15 years ago. He's a monster. He's a big, strong, physical kid. And I don't think last week was a fluke. Like, I'm really high on the pack right now. So give me NC State.
Don't they have a series win over Duke as well this year?
Yeah. Yeah, on another bonkers finish.
A good team. This is a good Pac-9 team. So, like, I'm not sleeping on that.
Yeah.
Remember, NC State scored, like, 8 runs in the 9th inning with 2 outs or something crazy.
It's the best closer in baseball in Charlie Beilinson. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, Eli Serrano walk-off bomb or something.
Yeah, Eli Serrano, their center fielder, here, walk-off Jimmy.
No,
all right. TCU at Texas. This one, like, it's a toss up for me. Like, which TCU team is going to show up? Which Texas team is going to show up? I'm going to go TCU here, just because this is an absolute must win for them. I know TCU, they're 4 games below 500 in the Big 12 at 7-11. Texas is still like sitting all right. Like, what are they, 9-6 in the Big 12? So, like, Texas can, I guess, technically afford to lose this series. But in all reality, like, it's a must win for both. I think TCU has a better starting rotation, and like, I hope they win this series, because if they don't, if they fall to 8-13 or 7-14, like, their season's pretty much done. So I'll take TCU here.
My Big 12 favorite is still alive. Give me the Hook'em Horn. I picked them to win the Big 12 preseason. They're at home, backs against the wall, no pressure at this point. Pierce basically said, we got a lot of work on. We don't get our asses kicked by UT Rio Grande Valley. Like, we don't, that just doesn't happen. That's not Texas baseball. You know that locker room is probably like, oh, shit, whatever. Like, fuck it. Let's turn it around. Let's show them what we got. Hook them, baby.
It was. It was the first time that Rio Grande had beaten Texas since 1979. That was not a fluke, right?
Mushrooms and Molly and all the fun drugs.
It was, and to me, it kind of, if we're sitting at the poker table, it kind of showed Texas's hand. We're like, they're a little bit light in that back end. And it was a rotation that we kind of bragged on a ton. I think Peyton Tully wins on Friday for him. I think TCU wins on Friday. And then I think Texas, to Rizgod's point, I think they come back and win Saturday, Sunday. I got the Longhorns. Gage Bame, their closer, they're going to start to use him in a little bit of a unique way. We're like, hey, it's a big moment of the game in the 6th. Let's throw the big – they call him the Big Show, which is arguably the coolest nickname in college baseball right now. The Big Show comes out and he throws like probably 4 to 5 innings in all 3 games, combined. So I think Texas wins the series. And then Kirk Sarlis and the boys get it going next week. It's just not this week.
Hey.
I need to get going quickly.
Can you guys imagine the great R.I.P. Augie Garrido's post-game speech if they would have got their ass kicked by UT Rio Grande Valley. He would have said, you know, this was a fist fight or a street fight, which you don't know one fucking thing about. We would all be dead. I'm talking to Augie would have got them boys. Friend. He would have got them boys locked in, standing on business. He would have got them locked in if they gave up 17 to Rio Grande Valley 10 years ago.
Shout out to our boys at Occupy Left Field. They're going to have the place bumping. They're going to have the place bumping this weekend.
Yep. The Yeti? The Yeti
pen? Yeti Yard.
Yeti Yard.
Yep. Yeah. All right, let's get to the top here. Louisiana at Coastal Carolina. I'm not going to overthink this. Like, let's just take Coastal at home. No offense, Louisiana, but like, you're due to lose a weekend series at some point in the Sun Belt. Like, everybody else has lost a weekend series, so your time has come. You guys can still rebound. Coastal Carolina at home. Don't overthink it. Let's just go Chanticleers.
Coastal at home. The Killer Bees take care of business at home. Louisiana, they're on fraud watch. They played the weakest Sun Belt schedule of anybody so far. They're on fraud watch. Minute Maid Park Cajuns show up this weekend in Conway, South Carolina. Give me the Chanticleers.
Also, offense wins. Like, Dimitri, you said it yourself. Offense wins from here on out, right? And, like, Coastal's offense is significantly better than a lot of pretty much everybody in the country. But, like, this just feels like the weekend where they put up double-digit runs and Louisiana just can't hang. But, this feels like a pick I'm going to regret, but I'm not going to overthink it. Coastal Carolina, their offense at home. Let's win two baseball games.
That's hey, quick fun fact before Jack makes his big-time pick here, because his pick carries a lot of weight here. But can you guys believe that Louisiana with 9-8 at one point this season?
Yeah, what are they now, like 30-9?
29-9.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, they're 30. No.
They won yesterday. They're 30-9. They've won 21 of their last 22.
Yeah.
That's why I'm hitting a hard halt, or hit it again, and maybe the Cajuns use your voiceovers for a little bit of like a juice up for the fellas. They're definitely not fraudulent, in my opinion. No. Now, with that being said,
I didn't say they're fraudulent. I said they're on fraud watch. Like a fraud warning tornado watch. You guys even know what those mean?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay, what is it? What is the tornado watch?
Tornado watch means the conditions say that there could be a tornado. A tornado warning means there's been a tornado spotted.
Okay. So I'm on
They teach you that watch. Like in third grade.
I'm putting Louisiana on fraud watch. The conditions show it's very possible they could end up being fraud.
The conditions show they have a four-game lead in the Sun Belt, and they're 14-1.
And there's no watch. The conditions show that it's very possible that a fraud could arise. A fraud hasn't been spotted yet.
Here's what you did. You saw a hurricane forming off of like the Cape of South Africa, and the entire Florida community is like, everybody, watch out. That's what you just did. We're weeks and months in advance of going, yeah, this team's pretenders. And then even if they go lose this series, like, are we raising it to a warning because the top 25 team beat them?
No, I will give you the 72-hour fraud path. Basically, it's going to show you where it's going to be on each day at 9 p.m. I'll give you the fraud watch, the fraud path. Louisiana lose the series in not a one-run game type environment, like extremely competitive, buddy. They're not winning the Sun Belt. If they, I will tell you on Sunday night, come back and listen, and I will give you the final verdict of the fraud watch and fraud warning.
Well, their starting shortstop is going to be a first rounder, and
Kyle DeBar is good. That's great,
and their weekend rotation is fantastic. With all of that being said, let's go ahead and guarantee the Cajuns win, because I do think Coastal wins this game. If you watch that North Carolina midweek battle, their rotation is so much different than last year. Early on in this year, in a couple midweek games against Wake Forest, early on against Duke, like, I was still a little bit concerned. Cameron Fluke out of the back end is a monster. They basically plugged in place Peyton Eales from a year ago with a Cam Sam Anthony Archie. He's one of the few non-B last names in that lineup. He's been spectacular at the leadoff spot. I really like Coastal right now. With all three of us taking him, it feels like we've just confirmed that the Cajuns go in and get a big win. But give me Coastal. Congratulations to the Cajuns and Wilmington, man.
To use Dimitri's words against ourselves, like, we are on fraud watch. Because if UNCW and Louisiana win this weekend, we are frauds.
No, we are not fraud watch. We
are the conditions are set for us to be frauds, Dimitri.
We are on fraud warning. The fraud had touched the ground. It had touched the camera. It is here. People haven't spotted it yet because we haven't released this episode. The moment this episode releases, we are in full-blown fraud alert.
We are fraud warning. Fraud warning. All right, two series left, and then we'll wrap up the show. Florida State at Wake Forest. Look, not overthinking it. Florida State has been the better team all year. I know Wake Forest has been hot. Nick Kurtz has hit 16 homers his last 13 games or something crazy since he's come back. But Florida State, I think, wins this series. I think Florida State has yet to have that coming out party where, like, the whole country respects them and, like, sees them as a contender. They had the opportunity at Clemson. They couldn't do it. They get swept. Like, this is a big series. Link Jarrett and the boys are going to be ready. This is a very optimistic way of thinking, but I do think this Florida State team is not only like Omaha caliber. I do think they're one of probably 20 teams that could potentially win the College World Series. And this will be their coming out party on the road. A ton of runs are going to be scored this series. So, I'm taking Florida State.
If this series would have happened 3 weeks ago, I would have taken Florida State. But ever since Wake Forest made that music video, the boys are vibing. The tunes are humming. The vibe are flowing.
It's actually since Jack and I went and visited Wake Forest and got to interview them and see their field. Like, I think they're like 16-2 since then.
Give me the Wake Forest Demon Deacon this weekend. I know I have Florida State winning the series, so either way I'll be happy. If Wake win, I'm happy. If Florida State win, I'm happy. But I'm not even a Florida State guy. I hate Florida State. Like, I really hate them. Give me the Demon Deacons at home. Omaha run start tomorrow.
Yeah, give me the Deacs, man. I'm not going to overthink it. At home, at the couch, that lovely, weird yellow turf that they're going to be donning this weekend. A name, too, that I don't know if a lot of people know it. Siever King and Nick Kurtz get a ton of love in that lineup, and rightfully so. They're both bona fide top 10 picks, in my opinion. Adam Tellier, who's a Ball State transfer, is leading the way. He had like 350 and 10 jimmies for him. He's a long, lanky, wiry kid, kind of dear and near to my heart. And then Merrick Houston, who they just got back off of injury as well. Like, that changes their offense just as much as getting Nick Kurtz back as well. Like, that makes them like 1-9 deep as hell, like it was a year ago. You get Kurtz in the powerhouse, like, you knew Siever King was going to be Siever King. Kurtz is finally clearly healthy, but those two guys at the top of that offense is why they win this weekend and why I think they can go on another big-time Omaha miraculous run.
Hey, I was going to say something. I totally forgot.
With the people on the YouTube, Dimitri is a floating head the last 20 minutes, and I keep trying not to laugh, but that last little flicker of light just kind of sent me over the edge. You're a floating head.
Just on his eyes.
Oh yeah,
so funny. You look like an unlockable character in like a video game.
Anyway, all right, last one.
Last series, Tennessee at Kentucky. Don't overthink it. Give me Tennessee. I'm going to continue to invest against Kentucky until I'm bankrupt. They're a really good team. If they were preseason ranked like number 10 instead of unranked, they would be the number one team in the country. They just have kind of waited their turn. If they win this weekend, like, oh my God, they're a legitimate. Let me take a step back. I said, don't overthink it. Tennessee, I close my eyes and I see Tennessee winning 2 out of 3 in Kentucky. It's like a Tony Vitello has been waiting for this moment. He's been sitting back all season. Hasn't said much. His team hasn't really shown a ton of emotion. Like, they're waiting for these top 5 matchups that they have coming up. And I think they're as dangerous as anybody. Other than them slipping up that first SEC weekend at Alabama, where they lose the Saturday-Sunday games, Like, they have been flawless. They put up 20 runs again in the midweek. Offense is there. Pitching staff is there. Don't overthink it. Take Tennessee and, like, let's let Kentucky earn this respect. Because if Kentucky wins this weekend 2 out of 3, I'm pushing my chips towards them. Like, they're legit. Just give me one more chance to bet against Kentucky. Just, like, one more chance. And, like, don't let me down. Don't let me down, Tennessee.
Give me the ball. Give me Vitello and the boy. Billy Amick, three home runs this weekend. Tennessee let the SEC know this is their year. I'm still going to ride to Kentucky, had the gauntlet in front of them, and this is where it begins in the downfall.
You guys think there's going to be more Tennessee fans or Kentucky fans at this series? Like, legitimate question.
Do you remember last year, 2 years ago, Tennessee broke out their charcoal uniforms for the first time in that nasty-ass weather, and they lost the series. And everyone was like, holy shit, Tennessee fraud watch. They just lost the series at Kentucky. That was the beginning of the rise for Kentucky, and that was the downfall, which would never happen. But that was the downfall for Tennessee. They were overreacting that weekend, I remember. But the stadium was empty, it was cold, and it was rainy. I don't think Tennessee traveled that much to Kentucky.
But this is also a top five matchup. The time before say, that was not.
I think it's going to be blue.
I'm going to check you. They travel really well. Outside of LSU's anomaly in Omaha, Tennessee packs like Charles Schwab Field out, man. TD Ameritrade is covered in that Volunteer Orange like big time. So they travel well. But I see your point.
I don't think Kentucky left them in. I think Kentucky keeps it blue.
We'll see. All right. Well, I'm dooming us for the third time this episode, and I'm going to tell you why.
Bro, take one for the team, please. My God.
I can't do it because I'm so confident about this pick. Do you know Tennessee's got 8 guys hitting over 300 in their lineup, right?
And like Blake Burke is hitting like 420 with an 18-game hitting streak. It's nuts what's going on.
I was going to say, do you know what Blake Burke is hitting this year? Right? Hey, he just broke the Tennessee all-time home run record. He's got the 13 homers on the season. But do you know what he's hitting?
It's over 400.
He's in 422. And no one's talking about him. And it's crazy to me how this was like the team that kind of put college baseball on the map, in my opinion, 2 years ago by becoming this giant enemy of the sport. At the major league level, too, everyone condemning them the way that they treated the game. Bullshit. This team is flying under the radar. Ain't nobody talking about them, right? Burns bounces house, and then all of a sudden, like, they just keep rolling with the punches. Give me the Vols. I've doomed this for the third time. I'm sorry, but I had to do it.
Well, congratulations to the Tennessee Volunteers.
Congratulations. Nope, you're saying it backwards. Congratulations, Kentucky Wildcats. Congratulations, UNCW Seahawks. And congratulations to the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. You guys all won your weekend series here on Thursday. Congrats.
All right, let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation really quickly. Of the three, I don't know if we've ever picked three all together. We've never had three clean sweeps. Which one's more likely to let us down?
Northeastern.
Northeastern.
And it's not even a letdown. It's just a Wilmington's really good. I could not feel more confident about all three home teams in those sets, though. This is the problem.
Right. I don't know, man. We'll figure it out. But, overall, this weekend's going to be loaded. Like, those are just the 6 most competitive series. We know every single week there's some huge upsets. Top 25 teams go down. They lose 2 out of 3. But as we know, like middle to late April, that field of 64 starts in kind of separating itself. You got to find team. Like as a team, you know whether you need to win the conference tournament or if you don't, like around this time. And sure, like I think that there's going to be some things that we don't expect happen. But for the most part, now we have a good feel on almost every team. And, like, I don't know. We're going to figure it out real quick, but it's exciting. No Masters this weekend, no college basketball tournament. A lot of people are going to be focusing on college baseball. So y'all go out. The weather's supposed to be nice, I think, across the country. Go out and find a game.
I've got 5 mid-major games for you to watch this weekend. And it not, they're probably all bubble teams. Like they're not going to get in unless they win the conference tournament. But if you care, Portland and Gonzaga both tied in that West the Western Conference. Say they're, I think they're both 10-2. That's going to be really good baseball. I've already told you that.
Funny thing is, Gonzaga is like fucking like six games under 500.
Six games under 500 and 10-2 in the conference. So they like really went and challenged themselves in the out of conference. The RPI doesn't reflect it because they're like 0-11 in quad one get wins. But again, like they're taking care of business in conference, which is all that matters. I already told you guys La Tech's going to be DBU. That's going to be awesome. That'll be a really fun weekend in my opinion. Austin Peay and Florida Gulf Coast both tied in the A Sun. They're both in that three spot, but in really like kind of a precarious spot where if like if you lose this series, you're really looking at quite the uphill battle in the A Sun. And then my homer picks, College of Charleston and William and Mary. The, shout out to the boy Mason. I know he's excited for a big one. A little bit of an in-house 0.7 rivalry. That'll be a blast.
Bro, if Mason McCray texts me one more time about William & Mary, I'm going to lose my shit.
You're joking. They're good. Joking. We love giving Mason McCray some hell. Because every week he just says, hey, I know what the Tribe's doing. Tribe's playing well. Put him in that top 25. We're like, you know, they got shut out by Delaware, so we're going to hold off for a week. Anyways, appreciate everybody listening to the show. We'll be back all weekend. Lots of coverage. Sunday night podcast, of course. And yeah, just be on the lookout. We got some fun things dropping here pretty soon. Field of 64, possible MLB mock draft I've been working on, and some other fun things. So y'all stay tuned. And if you need us, holler at us. DM.
Hey, Jack, show the merch. Show the merch. What you got on? Go buy a hat. Go buy a tee. Go buy a Defend the Bus Lot. Go buy a Defend the PK, go buy a Defend, whatever the hell it may be, the beach. Go buy some merch.
Love that. Love that plug.
/shop.
We'll end
on
that.
By the way, the Braves swept the Astros, boy.
We're ending the show.